The regular supplemental meetings are called to order. The supplemental meeting is recessed. We have a moment of silence. All right. First item on the agenda is approval of minutes from the March 12th, 2026 meeting. I want to review those minutes, and I get a motion to approve the minutes of the March 12th, 2026 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay.
I mean, no, I didn't mean, no, I didn't mean to say that.
The motion passes.
Sorry, no, I didn't mean to say that.
Mr. Chairman, if I could have a minute, I'd like to introduce a new policy at a certain level of responsibility in the organization. I think there needs to be a policy about dangerous sports.
Golf included in that.
Ryan, how's the leg?
It's doing a lot better now than it was a couple weeks ago. So appreciate it. We're getting around on crutches, but doing better.
Yeah, at the very minute we need our CIO on top of his game, he's riding around on a tricycle. So,
yeah, we were talking about other methods to get around the office, but it helps having a rolly chair in the office. So.
Well, if you need any kind of accommodation or something, yeah. I'm joking around a little bit, but I know it's got to be a tough recovery. So,
yeah. Well, no, I mean the team said later, but I want to thank Kyle, Vivian, and Luis. They've been on top of it. We haven't missed a beat with them kind of stepping up while I was out. On the portfolio.
Fantastic. Sorry, Karen, but just wanted to acknowledge we got a wounded guy.
Next time he won't mouth off to Kelly in that, meeting.
Yeah, live and learn.
All right, the next item is, do we have any public comment? And raise your hand on the online.
Not I see anybody.
Okay.
All right. Is that person want a public comment?
Did I make a public comment?
Okay.
Moving right along. Possible budget amendments.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. We're going to start off today's meeting with a couple of possible budget amendments. The first one is the HVAC systems for the Harry Hines building. And as just a reminder, DPFP does own this building. We occupy the first two floors, and we have tenants on the third and fourth floor usually. So we brought this item to the board in October of 2025. And at that time, the board asked us to do a couple of things. One was to do a hold sell analysis, and Clarion, we engaged Clarion to do that report for us. And they brought that report and presented it to the board in February. The other item that was requested was that we reach out to the city and we find out who they use for mechanical systems and get a quote from them. And we have done that as well. So we'll share that information with you. So we received four quotes for the work. And again, a reminder, this is for the first, the third, and the fourth floors only for this building. The lowest provider was DMI. That's the second one that you see here on the schedule. But their quote does not include the integration of the mechanical systems into the building automation system. The next quote was Slack. Their quote does include both of those components. RPM. The board has given us instructions in the past to always include a woman or minority-owned business in our quotes, and we continue that practice. RPM was a quote from a woman-owned business. And then the last one is Metco Engineering, and they are the City of Dallas vendor. Wow. So we've looked at these quotes. We've had Cushman Wakefield, who is our building manager, evaluate these quotes. And at this point, we would like to go forward with selecting Slack as the replacement vendor for the HVA systems. We
Did
believe.
they give you any feel for why the Metco quote is so much higher?
Yes, it was very surprising to us. And in the analysis that Cushman did, their labor component was significantly higher, and their outside services, like for the cranes and stuff, significantly higher.
But parts and material were basically about the same. Wow.
So,
Good work. Pretty good.
thank you. So we'd like to go forward with Slack. We believe that using a single vendor to do both the integration as well as the work, it makes the most sense for us. And so after we talk about the other budget item, then we'll ask for a budget amendment to allow us to engage a vendor in this project. Are there any questions about the HVAC systems?
I know there'll be ongoing maintenance. We all know that, even with a new system. But what do we think the anticipated tenure of this system will be in this building?
So we expect 15 years. The warranties, you know, various pieces of it have various parts of warranties, but we're expecting a 5-year warranty on the major parts of this of the systems.
How long was the previous HVAC there?
We're living on borrowed time. The previous systems were installed in 2008 with a 15-year life. So their expected life expired in 2023. The second floor failed in 2024. And at that time, we had to make a very quick decision to simply repair rather than replace the whole systems because the lead time was 12 weeks. We could get it repaired in, you know, 2 weeks, and we just couldn't afford to be down for that length of time. So we're trying to be a little proactive. Again, we feel like we're living on borrowed time, that at any point the other systems could fail. They could live on for 5 more years. We don't know, but how much risk do we want to take?
Brenda, one quick thing, just as a follow-up, and we did not do this on one of our projects and got a surprise, is we replaced the equipment and we didn't consider what that did to the maintenance contract. And then when we had to change maintenance vendors, we got a shock in terms of how much more it was to maintain. You may want to go back and make sure your vendor for HVAC maintenance will cover at the same price with the new equipment.
Okay, we will do that. Any other questions about the HVAC? Okay, the second item, let me go backwards here. The second possible budget amendment is regarding the Allborn contract, and Ryan's going to talk about that.
Okay, just as a reminder, we talked last month. Staff requested some service enhancements with the Allborn contract. They've been the private markets consultant since 2024, primarily to add analyst access for staff when we're evaluating private equity, private credit, and further down the road, other private opportunities. It increases the number of operational due diligence credits we have access to, which will better meet our needs as we increase the number of funds we're underwriting. After discussion last month, at David's urging, we re-engaged with Allborn, and they've additionally agreed to include three annual legal due diligence reports in their contract. So with that, we're recommending to approve the budget amendment, go up to that next level on the contract. As a reminder, we'll likely add real estate to it for 2027. Wanted to see if there was any questions on the Allborn agreement.
That was great that they were able to come back with something. I didn't think they were going to come back with anything. So
Yeah,
you
no,
forgot to
it's
ask.
a competitive agreement, but no, it was helpful, and we're appreciative that they worked with us on it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Two motions. First motion is to increase Well, can I get a motion to increase the 2026 capital budget by $450,000 to allow for HVAC replacement?
So moved.
Wait a second.
Second.
All right. Motion to second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. The second, can I get a motion to authorize amending the contract with Auburn to add additional services and increase the budget for 2026 by $25,000?
So moved.
Get a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the ayes have it. Financial audit status, Brenda.
Thank you. So I'm happy to report that the audit is going along well. The initial field work, which began in February, we have completed most of the auditor PBC request. All the confirmations have been sent except for the legal and the actuarial report. We have also sent the member census data to BDO so that they can begin that actuarial work while we wait for the actuarial report. We hope to have the actuary report to present to the board at the May board meeting, and then we will have the audit and the ACFR to present at the June board meeting. Are there any questions about the status of the audit? Thank you very much.
Okay, move right along.
Okay, good morning, everyone. The next item that we have is also a carryover item from October, and it's the pension administration software item. In October, when we had this item, the board had questions and brought up a lot of good points. The direction to staff was to spend some time with Scott and learn from his experience on if there's other options available to us, especially given that technology is changing really quickly. And we did that. We met with Scott a couple of times. Scott let us know this morning that he wasn't able to attend the meeting. He thought he might be able to be on the phone. We could go forward with this, or we could wait until Scott comes back. I think it's fair to say that Scott doesn't have an issue going forward with this anymore. That's my interpretation from the conversations, but I didn't know if you all wanted to wait for Scott or continue forward.
Kelly, is there any time sensitivity to making the decision now versus next month?
Well, we're already a quarter behind, so it would just put us a little more behind. John, do you know if LRS has us penciled in on their calendar yet, or they're just waiting?
No, once we get approval, they'll have to see what they have.
I guess my preference would be to have Scott here.
Okay.
Just if there's any dialogue, but if it puts us further behind, then it sounds like if Scott's okay, we probably, I guess, have to proceed because there's some time sensitivity. I guess the question I'm asking for.
It's a 6 month. This phase is roughly 6 months, so it would just add another month. It's not a big deal.
I think it, from my point of view, all I was expecting was you just to get his input,
right?
And if you've done that and he didn't have an issue or he thought you were on track, then we should proceed.
Okay, are you fine with that? So I provided this presentation.
It doesn't matter, there's enough votes, so it doesn't matter if I'm in line or not, but yes, I am.
So the presentation's very similar. Some of the pages are exact same from October. I did add an executive summary just to kind of shorten it a little bit for you. And I don't intend to go over everything since you've heard it once before. But just as a reminder, you know, as you know, our primary responsibility is to pay accurate, efficient benefits to members. And the pensions administration software is critical to making that happen. It also impacts the quality of service that we can give our members. Our current system is 23 years old, which is a little older than the HVAC system.
Running connect.
Staff has done a lot of things to work around the system. We do a lot of things outside of the system. Members can't do things online that members of other systems can do online. So that's not great. We've been talking to the board about this project since 2023. The prior phases included hiring Linea Solutions to evaluate whether we should take our current vendor, which is LRS, and upgrade from the version 2 that we're on to their version 4. It's really a whole new implementation, not a simple upgrade. Or if there are possibly other third-party vendors we should look at. We're in a weird kind of tier, I would guess, because we're not as big as a big state system, and we're more complex than smaller systems. So we're in this middle tier where there aren't a lot of vendors. So based on their analysis, they said we should continue with LRS as long as the pricing comes out appropriate. So our recommendation to the board in October was we go to the next phase with LRS and continue that process. And this next phase doesn't commit us to the whole process. So with that, I'll flip through some of these slides quickly. I've said a lot of this. LRS is Levi, Ray, and Shoup, and the software is Pension Gold. So you'll hear us say LRS and Pension Gold interchangeably. That's what we mean. On this one, when Linea came in, they took a look at everything we do, and they came up with a 41-page, very detailed report about all of the different things. They had an executive summary. I've taken a couple pages out of that. They looked at these 16 key areas, everything from the IT infrastructure to security to benefits payroll, how we put the benefits in the system. They really did everything and said, what's the current state? They were frankly surprised at the level of work we do outside of the system, especially with the quality control processes. So they talked about all of that in their 41-page report, which I can provide if you'd like. But they did... I have like two slides of their key findings. They acknowledge we do a lot of work to ensure that the calculations are accurate. We've implemented Asana, which is a workflow process, because before that, I would have no way of knowing kind of what's in the works, what's delayed, what might have fallen through the cracks. We had no way to do that. That really came to my attention a few years ago when I asked the staff, the benefit staff, tell me how many final payments are outstanding for people that have passed away. Sometimes a member will pass away that doesn't have a surviving spouse, and we have to pay the final month payment, whether that's, you know, 4 days of the month or 28 days of the month, however many days they live during that month. Sometimes those beneficiaries don't respond because the amount's low or whatever. I asked, how many of those are outstanding? Took them 3 weeks to give me that answer. 3 weeks.
Oh. But I will say that you guys have done a great job, although manually, because we don't get in that many mistakes anymore. We used to get a little bit here and there, and considering it's a more antiquated process, right, and without better technology, right, you guys do a good job.
Well, we implemented Asana, which is great. It's a workflow. We can always see where everything is in the process. It auto-populates subtasks and tasks, and it moves through the system. So at any time we can see where things are, which is great, but it is not at all connected into our pension system. So I have staff putting notes in Asana. I have them putting it in the Pension Gold. I have them putting them in the file. It's crazy. So there's a lot we do, and it's really good work, but it could be so much more efficient. And that's a lot of the things that they found in this. Another thing that they said, which is the first bullet here, is we are heavily reliant on vendor support. And just an example of that I want to tell you. I mean, of course, when we're changing the system, we need the vendor to do that. But we have what some of you know is a special death benefit. So if you have 78 points, which is a combination of your years of service and your age, your surviving spouse will get a higher, more than 50% survivor benefit if you meet that criteria. It's a higher percentage. We cannot enter those payments, those transactions ourselves. So anytime we have somebody that passes away and their survivors getting more than the 50%, we have to have LRS scripted in for us. That's 50% of the people that, roughly 50% of the people that pass away. We have to stop the transaction. We have to contact LRS. They have to script it in. We have to wait. We have to run a trial. It's crazy. So when we say vendor support, it's a lot of nitpicky little things that we shouldn't have to do. So that's a lot, you know, some of the findings. There's a lot more in their full report. We do believe we've been very happy with Pension Gold. Their service is great. We feel very comfortable with it. We think that the we lower the risk by staying with the same vendor for data conversion and all of those things. So we think that we should move forward with the next step. The next step in this process would be to, it's a 6-month process. It's in the budget already in the 2026 budget. And it, they would come in and they would look at, so they would do an interface analysis. They would do an imaging system analysis. But the most important thing is the line of business requirements work. And then they would come up with a fixed final price for us. So we would then come back to the board and say, do you want to move forward or not at that point?
It's like integration, you mean, like the integration, the whole process. So it would be seamless, redundant, and then
right. Bring out. Oh, it would be great.
How long do you think that's going to take?
Probably 4 years to implement it.
4 years?
Wow. Big project. 3 to 4 years, probably. That's what it's taking other systems to implement anything. It's not just this software.
What does ERF use or the city use?
ERF uses, oh, did I bring that with me? I have that. It starts with a V. Veritech. Is
okay.
That right? Yeah. That's a more expensive system, which we don't need that level of system. So what we have in the budget is $425,000, $300,000 for the LRS portion. They quoted $269,000. Even though we've had a delay for a few months, they said they would stick with that price. Plus, I built in an 11% contingency. We have $50,000 for additional Linea services because we anticipate having Linea look at the requirements, see if they think anything's missing once we get them, because it's kind of the cat in the hen house situation. And then we have some money in here for legal, which we may or may not get to, depending on the timing of the project. Are there any questions about this project or where we are?
Did Scott feel like the 11.5% contingency was adequate, or do you think you need a budget authorization with a bigger contingency?
We didn't talk about that at all. So the conversation, we didn't talk about the pricing. So I don't know what his feelings are on that. One of the things that Scott did bring up, which we spent a good amount, which I thought was great because I didn't even know about it. He asked a question about, you know, a lot of businesses use third-party administrators, especially on defined contribution plans. And he mentioned one in particular, which I won't name their name, but I called him and I researched him. And sure enough, they do defined benefit plans. So we had, I don't know, 4 calls with them. And they looked, I was surprised. I was like, can you do this? Can you do this? And they said, yes, 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 yes. I read their SEC filings to try to see how big their defined benefit business was. I couldn't really tell. But what was interesting is, you know, their clients are sticky. Once you go with them, you can't leave because you've lost all of your kind of internal knowledge. But where we didn't think that in the end, my recommendation is not to do something like that is because they have no public clients. They didn't kind of say that as we were moving through, but I finally demanded to tell me how many public pension plans are your clients, and they're implementing one fire plan right now, but they have none. And basically it's a call center operation. One of the people from Linea actually worked at that company before, and she said, and they said they could implement it in 12 months. And she told me like how they do that. They actually do a lot of this stuff manually. They don't actually do the software right away. That comes later. I just don't think DPFP needs to be on the cutting edge with it. So the idea would be if we do go forward with the full project, we'll probably be with the vendor for another decade or maybe two. And by then I think the whole world will be different with software, and you know, we won't be on the cutting edge, which DPFP doesn't want to be on the cutting edge on a lot of these things, especially when it's people's pay. So
I'm just worried about the implementation. I've never seen one of these things come in on budget. And so that's why I'm asking.
Well, this is just the analysis phase. And part of that analysis phase is they'll come back with a firm fixed price. And as long as we do a really good job of defining our requirements, we'll get that firm fixed price. If we miss some of the requirements and come back later and say, oh, by the way, we want workflow, well, that's where we'll be. In trouble. I've done 2 software system implementations for two different cities. And they're huge projects, very complicated. And I've lived through that, and I know the, how important it is to get it right, to have a dedicated team to do it. So I feel very confident that we can do this and we can do this well.
11 and a half, I asked. Okay.
Other questions? So if you agree, I would need a motion to authorize us to proceed to the next phase of the pension administration software project with LRS.
A motion, a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the ayes have it.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. The next item is your standard ministerial action items, and there's really nothing noteworthy this month. Everything is in line with what I would expect to see. Do you have any questions on this item? Okay. The next item is the board approval of travel and education. Did anybody want to add any their name to any of these conferences? Moving right along. Okay. This is for Ryan. Ryan, come and get it.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Portfolio update. I'll start by just recapping the forward calendar and some investment initiatives going on right now in the portfolio. As a reminder, we kicked off an asset allocation discussion with the investment advisory committee in January. We had the meeting here in 2 weeks from today with the investment IAC, where we're going to do an educational piece for Makita on risk mitigating strategies in that asset class. And then we're going to present some initial methods for the IAC's consideration on the asset allocation. On the private market side, we approved the two private equity commitments last month. We have another new private equity fund for consideration that we're going to take to the subcommittee in 2 weeks. And then that would come back to the board likely in May. On the public side of the portfolio, we received RFPs back on the global equity search at the end of the month. So staff has been evaluating those. Timeline there is we have an IAC meeting scheduled at the end of May, so we'll likely bring some managers in for consideration in that meeting and then have a recommendation up for the board. I'll talk a bit more about that when we get to the flash report. And then kind of longer term, what's coming after global equity as we look at the public portfolio and potential searches on small cap and a second multi-asset credit manager. That I will hand it over to Kyle to cover the next few slides.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. So estimated year-to-date return through the end of March is minus 2.4% for the total DPFP portfolio and minus 1.7% for the public portfolio, which makes up a majority of assets. Most of that performance, as I'm sure you guys have been following, has occurred in March, a pretty significant drawdown across different markets, and we'll get to that in a few moments. As Ryan mentioned, we're currently reviewing global equity RFP responses and working through that process. And then we've also been spending a significant amount of time developing some potential asset allocation mixes for discussion with IAC in 2 weeks, working with Makita. And then a component of that is consideration of risk mitigating strategies, which we'll be doing some education with IAC on this month. So March was a volatile month. This chart is looking at the probability of different Fed fund target rates as implied by Fed fund futures. So what is the market pricing that the Fed's going to do? You see that from kind of October through the beginning of March, you know, there's some bumps and blips along the way, but expectations were broadly that there would be one, maybe two cuts. That has shifted dramatically. So market expectations now are that rates are expected to remain flat through the end of the year. And then you also see this blip towards the end of the line. You see this green line pop up. And that is the expectation that we may actually see a hike. So market's kind of waiting, you know, we might see no hikes is kind of base expectation, and the probabilities are almost equally weighted that there might be a cut, there might be a hike. It really depends on what we see happen with the situation in Iran. Some of this data, and in the next couple slides as well, is a bit stale, as you guys have probably seen in the news. There's a ceasefire announcement. That ceasefire is pretty tenuous, and it's hard to say if it'll hold or what this might end up looking like. So we're continuing to monitor the situation very closely. One other interesting thing we saw is a very significant, this is as of March 31st, we saw a very significant outflow from emerging markets ex-China. China actually ended up being a bit of a ballast in the emerging markets, but a very significant flow of funds out of emerging markets. You see that that dark line on the very far right side is much deeper than what we saw during COVID. So taking a quick look at returns, and this is as of April 6th. So there was a bit of a pop kind of following month end as we got some positive news and direction on the potential for the ceasefire. Emerging markets up 3.65% year to date. But if you look at kind of trailing returns on a longer period, 1 year period, looking from February 28th back, emerging markets were up about 55%, and they were down 12% in March alone. So a very significant drawback in emerging markets. But you see that U.S. equities have kind of led the decline year to date for the ACWI IMI index. And over the longer period, some of these blips towards the very end look much less severe. U.S. markets have continued to kind of lead performance over the longer period.
All right. So we've moved this flash report on public performance manager performance from showing it monthly to once a quarter. So just a reminder on that. As Kyle mentioned, you know, we have international stocks are still outperforming U.S. stocks by about 4% year to date. So our global positioning in the equity portfolio has benefited us. If you look at the top line number, the total public portfolio up 12.4% over a 3 year period compared to a 60-40 benchmark of 10.7. So good performance there. It was a tough month for our equity managers in the portfolio with the volatility that we saw. But if we look to the year to date category, three out of the four of them are still outperforming year to date. Manulife is our manager with a slight value tilt. They're participating in the RFP that we're doing the search on right now. So we're re-underwriting them. And, you know, if there is a replacement, it'll be someone that either has a core or slight value stance in their portfolio. And then another comment would be, you know, kind of just with this downside that we saw in March, that's why we are spending time evaluating this risk mitigating strategy asset class. We don't have a ton of defensive portions of the asset allocation, and everything we have is kind of tied to rates in the cash and bond portfolio. So keep that in mind as we kind of continue to talk about that over the next few months. Moving on to the fixed income and credit page, with a bit more credit exposure in our portfolio, we see a few managers underperforming on the 1 month, but if you look out to the 1 and 3 year, there's a lot of green here and strong outperformance in those portfolios. So if there's any specific managers you guys want to talk about, I'm happy to do that. Okay, moving on. So just looking at total AUM year to date, as Kyle mentioned, 2.4% down overall. Ended the month with just under $2.2 billion in AUM. Looking at liquidity with the HUF proceeds that came in at the beginning of the year, plenty of liquidity in the portfolio. We are holding that cash back. I'll jump ahead to the asset allocation. You guys remember we are intentionally about 2% underweight to our public equity target as we go through this asset allocation. Kind of given where equity valuation levels were, the higher overall target allocation we have to public equity, that's likely to come down as we go through the asset allocation. So kind of overweight across the rest of the public assets, underweight to public equity right now is our current stance. Any questions on the portfolio? All right. Well, a lot more investment activity will be coming back within the next few months.
Hey, Ryan. Sorry, Ryan. If it's not too much work and whenever you can get it done, I'd love to see what you think portfolio allocation will look like when you're fully built out. And it may be too early. I know you guys are still thinking through things, but.
I mean, that will come. That's kind of what we're working on with the asset allocation. That's going to be a long-term plan. We're obviously going to be underweight privates, as you know, for a while. And what there's a few new asset classes that we're considering adding to the mix. And I think as we if we do that, we need to consider implementation and what priorities come first and what asset classes are we building out. So I think we'll have a long-term asset allocation, which would answer your question, what once we're fully built out. And then we'll need to talk about what comes first and what asset classes are we going to be able to get some money in the ground sooner than later versus the private citizens.
And a little bit of it
Well,
is the intellectual exercise of before I started, what did I think I wanted to be when I grow up? And then the end point is after I did some research, I realized I wasn't going to be a doctor because biochem was too hard. But same thing here, which is, boy, we thought we were going to be in a venture sleeve, and then we realized it couldn't move the needle. And so a little bit of it is, gee, from the outside looking in before I start, what do I think I'd want to look like? And then, like you said, you've got to go through the whole asset allocation plan. The operational implications of doing what you want to do to figure out what makes the most sense.
yeah, and I mean, like that comment, the thoughts we had when we talked to the IAC in January were public equity comes down. We have more public equity than peers, but we have the safe reserve, you know, cash short-term bond allocation that is not huge, but how can we restructure that given the cash flow profile is improving? And then what other, you know, private market asset classes do we want to consider and what's the appropriate level? And then the last one would be kind of that risk mitigating, like what type of defense do we want to play that allows us to play offense in the rest of the portfolio?
Got it.
All right. This next item is an item that I would like to start including as a standing item on each agenda, to just let the board know what we anticipate coming up in the future for future board meetings. And it will change because we get disability applications and hardships and, you know, other things come up as we, you know, go through the day. But the idea of this would be kind of twofold. Number one, you can see what's coming. But the bigger reason I would like to kind of track this is our board is unusual for most boards that you probably serve on in the fact that we have to meet monthly. And we have to meet monthly by statute. But what I would like to try to do is make some of the meetings very short to, you know, recognize your time. And if we can shift things around, so we could maybe have occasional meetings that are, they can be, you know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, half hour, something like that, where you could participate by Zoom on those months, that would be great. So for example, on this one right now, the only items that I know of that we're going to have for July are approval of the minutes, which I don't have on here, I should have on there. Certification of the police officer and firefighter trustee election, which we need to do because that's on the calendar. That's a 5-minute item, and asset allocation. So when we get to June, depending on what we do with asset allocation in June, we might decide, hey, we want July to be a shorter meeting. Let's skip that for July and move that to August so we can have one of these shorter meetings, kind of recognizing your time. So I'm trying to hope to use this so you can see what's coming up and maybe we can shift things around if it's, say, maybe the quarterly financial report's supposed to be on, we move it a month or whatever to try to do that. Are you okay with
That's a great
kind of
idea.
all of that?
Thank you very much.
So, I mean, this will change. The color coding, by the way, which is hard to see, so I'll probably change it for the next month. But the white items are kind of the meat of the meeting that change monthly. The grayer items are recurring items that don't come every month, but probably come every quarter, like the Makita reports and those types of things. The blue are standing items on each month, just so you can kind of see coming up. Any questions or anything else you would like to see on here?
One thing, and I'm gonna declare myself now, I'm gonna be a pain in everyone's butt about this until it either gets done or I'm off the board or you guys get tired of hearing about it. But what I'd love to see added to the calendar is a town hall session for the members. So I know, Kelly, we talked about that, but and they're probably not going to be well attended or until the word gets out, but I think it's incumbent on us as a system to give the members the right to, if all they want to do is yell at us, then yell at us, but to inform them about what we're doing, what's going on, what returns are, to answer their question. And I think we should have that as a standing item on the calendar. On, I'll yield to Matt or Tag, but you know, I don't know if it's once a year or twice a year, or I think once a quarter might be too much, but I think we should have it in our standard calendar and advertise
it in the field.
Correct. Yeah. So we go out to the members and we sit there, and if they want to complain, they complain. But the idea would be to educate, to hear what they have to say, and give them that opportunity.
Is it the target audience, both active members and retirees, or
wants to show up? So it's a chance to go out and say, you know, fundamentally we work for them. So
without a forum, this is a subset.
Correct. So it's really kind of a staff thing, and then whoever wants to attend.
You know, what trustees.
Right, but if we get too many, it turns into a meeting. But the idea would be, you know, it's a venue to inform and to be informed.
I support that. Is there some regularly scheduled meeting of that you're talking about where police, active or retire, are both assembled that we could get on their agenda or
association meetings?
Association meeting, maybe association meeting where we could be invited and report and react might be an efficient way to do this.
But they are also poorly attended, but you know, we can.
They're poorly attended.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
There's opportunity. I mean, no, it's fine with me. I mean, I literally will go if anybody asks me to show up and talk and answer questions, I show up. So, yeah, and multiple associations. No, I've spoken at three different association meetings. But yeah, I'm
love the idea.
Yeah,
not going to get a big attempt.
But it gives.
I think it's a show of good faith by offering it. But I just know getting people to show up.
Yeah, but that's one of the purposes, is that
absolutely
we're initiating this. And in fact, and one variant of this might be to at some point meet with just the leadership of the associations as a and offer that up. But any of those variations on the theme, I think, are important. But I think the fact that we are initiating is would be worthwhile.
Like office hours with a professor.
Right.
You know, it's nobody ever shows up and kids still fail, but you know what? The professor had the office hours.
I will tell you, as a cautionary tale, that the ones that will attend are retirees, mm-hmm. and boy, they have things to say.
You know what? And that's their privilege.
Yeah,
yep, that's their privilege.
Well, I think the timing. You know, it would be nice if we held them when we have something to say. So I think the right timing is once we get the actuarial evaluation done, so we can say, here's the new funding level and it's not so dated, that type of thing, which is coming up. So I think that's great.
Well, and if it becomes a standing time mm-hmm. window, so people know, maybe that improves attendance, right. Or, you know, at the very least, to your point, Matt and Rob, you can say, you know what, every July 30th, we have a town hall meeting. And, you know, that was your venue. That was the moment. We were accessible. We reached out to you.
You know, along these lines, I've been thinking about this. And Kelly, maybe this is happening. What communications, if any, occur between us and the city team, CFO's office, whomever, about status, anything like that? And I think it's incumbent upon, frankly, upon them, but on us too, to have some ongoing dialogue where we regularly apprise them of status. So what exists today, and should we consider ramping that up a little bit?
So there's constant communication between stat, between Jack and me, and between my benefits folks and their payroll people, between Brenda and their payroll or whatever they are, people, controller's office. So there's that level of communication. There's also a policy at the city that on an annual basis, we have to go present in front of the, used to be called the government finance. What's it called? The GP.
Performance government. And financial management.
Yeah, yeah, committee. I'm not sure exactly when that is, but we're, but both us and ERA go and present to the committee at that time. But we're happy to do.
Well, no, that might be sufficient. I'm just, and I don't know whether any trustees maybe should be part of that presentation or how you think about that. But I think the more we do to make sure that those lines of communication are what they should be, the better off we're going to be.
The other thing is that the city's issued their RFP for their
overall
investment
consultant monitoring person, and they'll get information from that person as well.
Right, and they'll probably ask us to, when that person presents information, we'll probably
and is that going to happen, that they're going to actually appoint somebody for that purpose?
They've issued an RFP. They issued it April 2nd, and the responses are due May 1st, so it's in process.
Well, that sounds like a good vehicle, too. Okay, then that puts us in good shape. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
It'll be interesting to see, because if that guy's on their game, or that person is on their game, they'll realize that in the settlement, they essentially gave us a put for performance for the next. So I would be really how good of a friend that person becomes of yours, Ryan. Based on what your performance looks like over the next 5 years, they're either going to get a mitzvah or they're going to get a bill.
But I hope that doesn't outsource their responsibility for there to be higher level communications. Right. I think that's what's missing.
That person like required to attend our board meetings that they're looking to hire or...
I think we should, my view would be is we should invite and press that person to attend our board meetings. I can't imagine how they can do their job without doing
that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would think, right? All right, anything else on this item? We'll try to move things around to value your time.
Good idea.
All right, we don't have any legal items. And the medical committee disability application is not ready this month. We'll see that next month. So we actually don't need to go into closed session. The first time since I've been at DPA.
Oh, my God.
So the last item on the agenda is the executive director's report. And you have your newsletters and your link in the monitor. And we only had one open records request since the last meeting. That's all I have.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Wow.
I think that's the fastest one I've ever attended.
So we get a...
By far, I thought 10 o'clock.
We get a motion to adjourn the regular meeting.
That, but now this is amazing.
I got a second?
Second.
I have a motion, a second to adjourn the regular meeting. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion passes. We'll go to the supplemental meeting reconvened. Do we have any public comment on the supplemental meeting? Please raise your hand online if you have comment. Okay, I get a motion to approve the minutes of the regular supplemental meeting on March 12th.
So move.
Get a second. Motion to second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion passes. Can I get a motion to adjourn the supplemental meeting?
Move.
Get a second.
Nobody wants
second.
To.
Oh, we got a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing none, the motion passes. The meeting is adjourned.